Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
There could be another high-profile hearing on Capitol Hill this week, or maybe not. The House Judiciary Committee wants to question Attorney General Bill Barr on Thursday for the first time since the release of the redacted Mueller report, but the Department of Justice has taken issue with the format that the House has proposed. Let's get more now from NPR political reporter Danielle Kurtzleben. Hi, Danielle.
Hey there.
So Democrats have been trying to force Barr to testify for a while now. What's the latest on these negotiations?
Right. So just to back up and to make things clear here, Barr is scheduled to testify Wednesday before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Now, that committee is separate from what we're talking about here, but just to make sure there's no confusion.
It's also controlled by Republicans as opposed to the House committee, which is controlled by the Democrats.
Absolutely. Yes. So there are some disputes between Barr and those Democrats who control the House who really want to push him on the Mueller report. There are a couple parts of that dispute. One is over whether committee staff and lawyers get to question Barr. Those committee lawyers, I am told, can be pretty skilled in their questioning, knowledgeable about the nitty-gritty of what they're getting into. And also, aside from that, there is a dispute over whether there will be a closed-door questioning of Barr over the redacted portions of that report. Now, there are a lot of reports out there. There are various news reports that suggest that Barr has threatened to skip the hearing, but thus far, as far as we know, nothing has been decided. The hearing is still scheduled for Thursday morning, but those back and forth seem to still be going on.
And by the way, there's so far threat of a subpoena, but there's no subpoena yet for Barr.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, we will keep watching that and see whether it's going to be a fiery day on Capitol Hill this Thursday in the House. But while we wait, Danielle, we're also watching the 2020 race as it changes each week. We seem to get a new candidate. And the big talk the last couple of days has been about Joe Biden, the former vice president. He's having his first rally in Pittsburgh today. First of all, tell us more about why he chose that location for the first one.
Right. I mean, it doesn't seem immediately necessarily obvious. It's not Iowa and it's not New Hampshire. But, you know, Pennsylvania is his home state. And aside from that, you know, if you look at what he is saying and where he's going, he's making this middle class argument, his campaign has said, about making an economy that works for everyone. He's doing it at a Teamsters Hall. So it's a message about labor. And this is a city with a strong labor presence, a city with a strong steelworker presence, a segment of the economy, manufacturing, that used to be much stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one big part of it. Aside from that, you know, he opened his campaign on a fighting Trump note. Opening campaign video, he really sort of frames Trump as an existential threat to American democracy. So he's going to the state that Trump won, that he wants to win back and that he thinks he can. Now, aside from that, after this, he'll be heading to Iowa and South Carolina, Nevada. So he is going to do the regular early state trip after this.
Well, but to that point about making this about him versus Trump, I think one of the things that he may have hit on here is that a lot of Democrats would probably vote for any of these candidates. They just want to beat Trump. And he's trying to make the case of saying, I'm the one who can beat Trump. I don't know if I could beat any of these other people in the primary, but I could beat Trump.
Yeah, I mean, he really does seem to be making that electability argument, right? Coming straight out the gate and saying and really taking the fight to Trump. Now, he has hit the ground at a dead sprint. I mean, if you look at a lot of the polls, he is leading in a lot of the polls, barely into this race. And in a 20-person field, that's not nothing. Aside from that, you know, 24 hours into opening his campaign, he had around $6 million raised, which is more than some of his opponents raised in a quarter. So he does have some wind at his back. That said, he does have a long history in Washington, which means accomplishments, but also what his opponents see as some blemishes, some bills that he has voted for, the Clarence Thomas Anita Hill hearings. So he has a lot of, which means his opponents will have a lot of ammo that, in
right.
their opinion, to sort of throw at him.
Okay, so one more thing here. One of his opponents is Beto O'Rourke, who released a $5 trillion climate change plan today. Tell us what is in there.
Sure. So like you said, $5 trillion. It's not entirely specific on exactly how that would be paid for, which is a big question mark. He has said, you know, structural changes to the tax code is his phrase, which would mean, you know, corporations, higher income people, fossil fuel companies paying their fair share, as he puts it. But he has said, you know, he wants to get back into the Paris deal. He wants to invest in infrastructure. And there's a a part of it that's also a lot like the Green New Deal you've heard a lot about in terms of environmental justice, making sure that lower income communities are included in whatever happened in this particular plan.
That is NPR political reporter Danielle Kurtzleben. Danielle, thank you.
Thank you.